Welcome back. 3:48, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And on this Friday afternoon, we're going to check in with Darren Snyder, Washington Times sports columnist. He's got a piece on the front page of the sports section above the fold entitled RG3 Junior Seau: Evidence of NFL's Negligent Culture. And Darren joins me now. Hi, Darren. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, Andy. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Happy New Year. Haven't talked to you in a little bit.
Same to you.
All right. Football is dangerous. We all know that. The guys get paid a lot of money. They're adults. And they make the decision to play. No one forces them to do it. But I guess the argument is the NFL still isn't taking care of their guys?
Well, it's not just a simple, clear-cut argument that's the case. The NFL has some responsibility. The players involved have some responsibilities. And at times, the players themselves, they neglect to take their own personal responsibility, and at times the league has also neglected this end of the deal.
Okay, so the argument that you would have then would be they don't pay attention, the leaders in the NFL don't pay attention when they see the signs, case in point being RG3 hobbling across the field at the start of the fourth quarter. Should he have been pulled in the last game? Is that what you're thinking?
Well, for one thing, it's come a long way since in the last several years. A lot of it's due to the concussion lawsuits. But the fact of the matter is that there's a culture in the NFL that you basically play, if you can walk, then you play. And with RG3 in particular, I think he should have been pulled due to his lack of effectiveness, which was due to the injury, which he re-aggravated in the first quarter. So, you know, guys say, hey, we're going to play if we can play. But, you know, to what level are you playing, and to what degree are you exposing yourself to further damage?
Yeah, I guess the problem, though, is when a guy comes off the field and perhaps says something to a teammate but not to the coach, said, man, I just got hit really hard. I get my bell rung here, but I'm still going to go back in because I really want to play. You know?
Well, you know, it's a very very competitive culture, very macho culture, and there's a certain air of invincibility, and there's also a certain code that says, you know, you suck it up and you play, and you play through it. And, you know, RG3, early in the season, he was saying, you know, you have to cart me off the field, and even if I get carted off, I'm going to jump off the cart and walk off. You know, Brian Urlacher has said, I would lie if they asked me if I had a concussion, even if I thought I had one, to continue playing. So there's this whole culture of you keep playing. And, you know, in one sense, that's admirable, but in another sense, it's kind of foolish.
So what should be done here, Darren? What do you try to do? Do you educate the younger players coming into the league saying, hey, you know, forget the macho stuff, and, you know, if you do get your bell rung, it's time to sit down for a while? I mean, as you just said, these are guys that have, you know, they're overconfident. They're the definition of the macho man, you know, going out there on the field and beating each other up.
Right. Well, like you said, you do have to start with educating the younger generation, and there have been some changes made in terms of letting them know, hey, it's okay. And there's been some mixed messages because a couple of years ago, Jay Cutler stood on the sideline during a playoff game, and he was criticized roundly by former and current players for not playing in the NFC Championship game.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out he had a torn MCL in his knee. But at the time, they couldn't tell. It looked like he was just sitting out, you know, not sucking it up, not playing through.
Yeah.
But the younger generation, there's a lot of changes going on in the game in terms of how you hit, what's allowed, what's not allowed. And they have to know that the game is changing. And also having more independent voices on the sidelines to make calls as opposed to coaches and team personnel, because, you know, whether it's consciously or subconsciously, they might not necessarily make the call that's in the best interest of the player's health.
Mm-hmm.
And we know for certain you can't trust the players usually, because they will lie and say whatever they can oftentimes to get on the field.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that bothers me, and I know you probably have a position on this. In fact, you just mentioned it, you know, that there have been some improvements, if you want to call them that, or changes to the game that disallow certain ways of hitting one player versus another, and you can't go helmet to helmet. And there have been lots of penalties called. And sometimes, the call is just awful. I mean, you and I have both witnessed horrendous calls by the ref, when you look at the replay. I don't know how you fix the problem without ruining the game. And I'll say this only because I sort of watched NASCAR go through this, and maybe this isn't the best comparison, but NASCAR a few years back, they decided they were going to make the game safer, and so they built these totally different looking cars. They looked bizarre. They had this giant wing on the back, and no one liked them, and the attendance dropped off because people, you know, they sort of were turned off, you know, by it. And I'm a little turned off by the game when I see a player make what I believe is a legitimate hit, a good old-fashioned solid football hit, and then he gets 15 yards for it, and then when you're watching in the replay, turns out you were right. It was a good hit.
I agree with that totally, that it is hard now for players to know, you know, what's allowed, acceptable, and it's almost like they have overcompensated to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
So, like right now, everyone is really trying to figure out where the game is, and to a large extent, it's almost impossible to avoid some of the hits that have been called for flags and weren't even that bad. So, I think right now the game is in a somewhat of a transition period. So right now it's a little rough on the edges, and I'm with you. Sometimes I really hate it when I see a guy get a flag and he did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
It was totally clean, totally legit. But in this era of hyper caution, I think they're overcompensating a little bit.
Yeah, and you know, because the NFL has taken these steps, and because you're hearing about it on the college level and in the high school level, more and more injuries. I'll give you an example. My wife now thinks the game is too dangerous to be played, period. She doesn't want to watch it. She's concerned for the kids playing the game. And what scares me is I think there are more people like her, you know, not more than the actual fan, but there are lots of folks like her looking at the game and saying it's just too dangerous to play. And I would hate to see an end to this game on the horizon.
There is a growing concern among people, especially, you know, mothers with children.
Sure.
And even some fathers with children.
Yeah.
And I would say that some of the concern is legitimate. Like, if I had two daughters, but if I had a son and he wasn't going out for football, I wouldn't be that upset, you know.
As
much as I enjoy football, I wouldn't be pushing him or trying to encourage him to play. I wouldn't be like, I don't know where I would be in terms of trying to dissuade them, but I know some people have tried to dissuade their kids from playing football.
Yeah.
And if too much of that happens, then football is going to be in for a change. But I will say that years and years and years ago, people predicted that football would end because it was so violent. So this is not the first time that we've had these concerns.
Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't all that long ago. I want to say 4 or 5 months ago, Joe Theismann sat in here and told me that he thought all of this lawsuit stuff was silly. You know, you as a professional, you take the risk, you know what you're getting into, and, you know, that's just part of the game. And it's obvious that a lot of people just simply don't agree with that anymore.
Well, I think what the argument is that the NFL withheld information or covered up information on the connections between football and these head injuries. Either they didn't treat it right, or they denied the existence of it. And to me, it's somewhat like with tobacco companies denying that smoking caused cancer. Like, yeah, you were smoking, but and some people will still smoke even though they know it causes cancer. But without addressing that issue up front, then you can kind of make the argument like, hey, you didn't tell me the peril involved with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Folks, if you haven't read it, check it out. It's in today's Washington Times front page of the sports section, RG3, Junior Seau, Evidence of NFL's Negligent Culture. It's by Darren Snyder. Darren, thanks for joining me today. Always great to talk to you.
Same to you, Andy. Take care.
Take care. 3:57, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT.